today. We have new content.
Yep.
We're on a roll.
Right. Well, we're coming off of a very successful online performance of Together Apart that Station Theater put on.
Yes, congratulations to everyone involved. It was great.
That really worked out.
And wonderful. You can still watch it if you missed the live performances. You can still watch them on Facebook. If you go to the Station Theater's Facebook page, they still have both nights.
What was your favorite?
I don't play favorites. I love everything.
You don't have to say what was your least favorite. You can't say what your favorite was.
No, I love the fact that there was so much diversity, not only in who was performing, but also we had a dance, we had songs, we had poems, and you know, so I think they did a great job. It's hard to pick your favorite when everything's so different.
Yeah.
So did you have a favorite?
Well, of course I did. It was Fava's intro.
I mean, you were such a huge fanboy of Fava. I know, I can't help it.
But, yeah. I
love that song.
That was just, just to watch the creation, because that's mm-hmm. what we miss about live theater. And that was what was great about Together Apart being live, which was different than a lot of the Zoom things that we've seen,
right.
At least especially successful ones, is this was actually 90%+ of that was live. And what I just thought was so cool about watching Jake do his thing was he creates and layers on the fly and composes basically. And so that takes the presentation of art to another level of actually watching the spontaneous creation of it.
Right, so, and he had a tough job. Not only did he have an original piece that he created, wrote himself and sang live, and then he was doing things behind the scenes to make sure it was all running well, and then emceed it. Yeah, he was amazing.
And for there to have been no major technological flaws mm-hmm. in a live Zoom performance with people performing from their, in most cases, from their own spaces. And
right.
So,
which is complicated.
Right, and I think we've been daunted by trying to produce something like that because of those very
things.
Well,
now things. we know who to call Jake.
Yeah.
But well, today we have a special guest with us.
We do. We first found out about changes within the Champaign Park District Youth Theater Department a couple months ago when we heard
that
from Patty Dudley was leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's ranked second all time of guest appearances on our show to the one and only J-Lo.
That's Jackie Lowenstein, for people who don't know our local J-Lo. Yeah.
Yes.
And
so then we've been waiting very eagerly to see what's going to happen with the great Champaign Park District Youth Theater.
We have personal ties to the Park District Theater. My oldest, Parker, who's 21 now, did his first production when he was 12, I think, with the Champaign Park District. It was his first acting experience. And then all three of my kids have done various shows there. And Wade has done your
show. Yeah, it was right about almost probably 9 years ago also that Wade and Joey were together in Aristocats at Stratton.
When we didn't even really know each other.
Yeah, so great things have happened. Patty brought that program a long way to all the performances being at Virginia Theater.
We both grew up in Champaign-Urbana, and I know if I had had access to that kind of theater when I was a kid, I would have just loved it. All I had was what we had through the schools. I don't remember anything through the Park District.
Yep.
So it's amazing that we have such a thriving theater community now. And now the reins are being handed off
to
Alexis Webb.
Hey, Alexis, thanks for joining us on See You at the Show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We are really so excited to learn about your hiring, and you wrote us and gave us some of your background, and you obviously bring a lot of enthusiasm to this role. And so you're from New York and you're a grad student in, I guess, is it in the theater department or in the fine arts, or how would you describe your education?
Yeah, so I'm getting my MA in theater, which is mainly focused in things like history and theory, but I also have kind of branched out from that and done a lot in directing and playwriting and dramaturgy, which is all of the research that goes on behind the scenes. So the program's been really, really exciting.
So what is your own background as a young performer growing up in Syracuse? Were you involved in theater pretty heavily?
I actually played three sports growing up all the way through high school and then into college. I also played ice hockey. So I did soccer, lacrosse, and hockey. And so it wasn't until I was in middle school and had access through my school to do a musical. We did Bugsy Malone Jr., which is super cute. So I did that when I was in seventh grade, and I so fell in love with musicals after that. And so I kind of did like the jack of all trades thing and joined as many choirs at school as I could. And then when I got to high school, I, you know, we only had one musical a year, so I did those, and I just loved it. And I've always loved music, specifically because I actually have Tourette's. And what I realized when I was in fourth grade and I got diagnosed was that when I listen to music or when I sing, my tics don't exist anymore. They kind of go away. So I originally went to my undergrad in Mercer University, which is in Erie, Pennsylvania, for music therapy, thinking I wanted to learn more about it. And it just wasn't the career for me, but you know, the people who can do it, amazing for them. It's a really great field. And I shifted, once I got into theater in college, more into not just musical theater, but also plays and acting and things like that. I got really serious into that. Started approaching graduation. I had no idea what I wanted to do, what kind of jobs were available in theater. So I decided to go for a master's in theater kind of general rather than an MFA. I applied to the University of Illinois, thinking there was no way I was gonna get in because the program is so great. And I ended up being the only applicant they accepted. So it's just little old me moving to Illinois halfway across the country into the corn. You know, I miss hills, but it's so beautiful out here too. And I have just, I mean, my life has totally changed from coming out here and started applying for jobs as I approached graduation this semester, thinking in this economy, in theater, there I will be so lucky to get anything. I was full expecting to just move back to New York with, you know, live with my mom, Valerie, you know, love
I'm
her.
Sure she's heartbroken though about this great opportunity.
Oh yeah, she was so upset as she approaches retirement, very excited to live alone. So I applied to the youth theater director position, honestly thinking I was not gonna get it just because I didn't think I had enough experience to run a program, and by the grace of God, they hired me. And so I've just kind of jumped headfirst in, trying to fit in my now full-time job plus finishing up my graduate classes for this semester. So it's been intense, but I'm so unbelievably grateful to have such a great job in a great city. And I'm really looking forward to learning more about the community and the population of kids and who I'm just going to get to teach.
That's great. We're so lucky to have you in the area and that you're going to stay. A lot of times people come here and then move back, you know, to their home state or move on. So we're glad to have you. So for COVID, how are you going to go forward with the youth theater? Are you guys going to have anything live this year or what are you thinking?
Yes. So for the spring after March 22nd, is the end of like the spring break for the programming at the Parks District. And so right now I'm planning some classes that will all be in person, but they will be limited numbers. We'll do obviously masks and social distancing. I'm actually in an in-person acting class right now at the university, so I kind of know how to do that safely and reasonably, but still have a really great experience. So I'm hoping to teach three classes for different age groups and all kind of focused in a foundation in theater involving acting, playwriting, even some directing stuff, because I think that's really, really important for kids, not only for when we do go back to doing main stage productions and having all of that knowledge, but I think also a lot of the times kids don't know what else is out there for theater, and they might feel, you know, they might be down about themselves maybe as an actor, but they might be an absolute amazing playwright and no one's given them that opportunity. So I'm hoping to do that through the classes, and then I'll also be doing two plays in person, again limited. We'll be maxing at 12 people, and those will be rehearsed again in person at Springer, and then depending on the weather, I'm kind of hoping that we can do it outside, socially distanced. What Patty was doing, which was great, was recording the performance and then sending it to the parents. So that's definitely an option, but if the weather is nice enough, I think it'd be really great to do it outside and people can bring their lawn chairs and hang out socially distanced.
I'm excited that we're getting to nicer weather so we can do outside theater. So the performances, are they gonna be from the people in the classes or, okay.
Yeah, so what we'll do is, so all together, there'll be 5 different things that you can sign up for. So there'll be 3 classes and then 2 plays. So the people in classes will be doing something different. The 2 classes specifically for the plays will be as close to rehearsals and things like that as we can get, but probably more so just reading, lightly staging, doing warm-ups, doing some more acting stuff in those types of classes, but centered around a text. The other classes will be, again, more general. We won't use plays in those.
I'm so excited that you're doing classes because this has been my issue. I love what the Park District has done, but because we've just been doing big musical upon big musical over and over, there was no time to actually teach much at all. So that's super exciting because I think that sometimes kids would get lost. They would come into the program, maybe get a small part because they'd never really done any acting before. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't a lot of time or to give to individuals and help them, you know, outside of just their small part. So that's super exciting that the Park District is going to get into and that you're going to be actually teaching classes and also learning more outside of the acting part. With my kids, I've always, you know, encouraged them to do backstage stuff and directing and things like that, because even if you just want to act, I think it's important to understand what all of those, and then you can respect it more too. Like,
yeah, definitely.
If you do props and stuff like that, you're better at keeping track of your props. Or, you know, if you've done something with costuming, then you're gonna take better care of your costume. And, you know, I just feel like it's really important for any actor to understand other parts of it too. So
definitely. And as we do eventually move back into the typical schedule of, you know, big musical after big musical, I am still hoping that I will be able to offer those types of acting classes for kids, because you're right, like the whole point of a theater program for a Parks District is accessibility, in right. my opinion, and yes. offering opportunity. Every kid is paying the same amount to have the same experience, and that is what I'm really hoping to encourage with these types of classes.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, because I know that when you get into the high school, then there start to be opportunities for people to work lights and to do things backstage, mm-hmm. but that has not really been a part of the junior sort of CPD experience. Mm-hmm. And so that is exciting. One of the things that we were going to ask you about is whether or not there would be plays, because there has not been straight acting plays in the Park District to date. Of the classes and plays or workshops that you mentioned, what ages are you looking for in those groups?
So I'm hoping to do, for classes, I want to do 3rd to 5th, 6th to 8th, and then 9th to 12th.
Oh, great.
And then for, I know typically it's been kept like 3rd to 6th and 7th to 12th, but I think for something as specific as classes, I think it's really important to differentiate those age groups because the educational experience is so different. And then for plays, I'm gonna do, I know previously it's been 3rd to 5th. I wanna do 3rd to 6th and really give those 6th graders an opportunity to take on a leadership role. Nice. And then do 7th to 12th for the older group.
Mm-hmm. And so the facilities are going to be the same as they've been, Springer for rehearsal work and classes, and then you still are gonna have access to Virginia once you're able to put on big shows?
Yes. So the goal right now, because the Virginia Theater is going through some really great renovations, is to be in there starting in, as of right, tentatively, August 30th should be the first day that we have like the parents meeting and then the auditions for our first musical. And then we get right back into doing the season. Of course, tentative with everything going on, we'll see if that happens. But for now, we've got the 2 plays for the spring. That should be really fun. And then my big goal for the summer is I want to do theater in the park. I really want to take some plays that are already, you know, pretty accessible to the outdoors. And I just want to get the kids outside. Mm-hmm. You know, we have been inside for what feels like eons at this point. And, you know, we'll still have the Springer Center in case, you know, it rains or something like that. But I really want to do everything outside over the summer and then have,
Are you going to use West Side Park since it's close to Springer? Or is that the park you're thinking? Or
I don't know yet. If anyone has recommendations on where you think it'd be good to do it, I'm open to anything truly, just because I'm not too familiar yet and that's still in the works. But hoping to do, I don't know, I'm kind of being ambitious. I want to do two plays and maybe one type of like cabaret style or musical outside, or maybe just some songs. Like, we'll see about that. But for sure, two plays. And I want to give it a full weekend like they usually do with the musicals. And again, people can bring their lawn chairs and spread out, lots of space, teach the kids how to project through masks. And I think it'll be a really, really cool experience.
Right. One thing that, so West Side Park, based on central location and proximity to Springer, jumps out, but Hessel probably has, because Hessel has a giant pavilion, and then coming out of two of the three sides of the pavilion is probably about a 6-foot graded slope that would be good almost to create a faux stage on top of that, but also, or you could have seating on the slope.
And they've done, you know, bands and stuff like that. It's kind of its own amphitheater in a way, kind of setup. Cool. So yeah, we can talk to you about different parks around
that. Yeah. And CPD also has a trailer, right? That kind of like can function as a stage. Used to come to Hessel Park for like band, like Sunday nights, they'd have a band in the park and so they'd pull a trailer into the park and then a whole side of the trailer comes down and opens up, creating a stage. Ooh. So that could be something in your arsenal to work with.
I love that.
Yeah. And we saw, well, and I guess, you know, there's all sorts of questions about whether you care about sound quality and stuff like that. We saw an outdoor musical in Peoria over the summer. They actually did something rotten and it was
not masked.
It was a COVID nightmare. But what was surprising was how well they were able to pull it off outside in the elements and still had a good sound system. And it was an amazing,
it was beautifully done.
Technological.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't remember what group it was that did that, but anyway, it was definitely a sign that, and you can paint the grass for like painted off sections of where it's safe. Cause who knows what sort of limitations you'll be facing this summer and into the fall.
Exactly.
But I'm really excited about being outside. And I think that that's going to be a big appeal to parents who are just wanting probably their kids to be in sports because they'll be outside. But if you can combine the best of both worlds.
Right. So are you going to have, I know in the past I've been a volunteer for CPD, you know, for wrangling and doing other things for the kids. Are you going to have parents involved at all helping out, or have you thought about that?
For the spring, I don't think I will need any volunteers because I don't know the level of which we're going to be able to perform. It might just be that we record it in Springer. It's so difficult right now with, you know, considering things like costumes and things like that. If you can even touch other people's costumes, I might just have to show up. For the summer, I don't know yet, but I am, you know, if parents want to help, I am always open to help and opinions and just learning more about what people are expecting out of this type of experience.
Right. And of course, I have to ask this because this is I'm on the station board and Eric used to be on the station board, which is a local, I don't know if you've heard of the station.
Yes.
A local community theater. And our emphasis right now is Black Lives Matter and getting underserved parts of our community, you know, helping them come in and hearing their voices and things like that. So do you have any plans or interest in trying to get more people involved, people of color involved with the park district?
Oh, definitely. For me, I have a couple of things I want to start doing. I would really love to, looking way into the future, you know, around COVID restrictions, trying to implement some kind of like coming into a music class or an arts class or starting some type of after school program. Because a lot of the time, you know, my mom has worked as a guidance counselor in the Syracuse City School District basically her whole life. I grew up in Syracuse City School District. I know what it's like to not have access to theater and the arts and music. And so there's a lot of the times where a lot of kids just don't even know what is theater? Why would I be interested in that? So you have to make those opportunities accessible and available. So that's one thing I want to do. Another thing that kind of seems like a no-brainer is pick plays that aren't just for white people.
You know, exactly.
We have been taught, you know, through mainstream, which is of course just white mainstream, white culture, all of that, that the safe narrative is the white narrative, and then people of color can adjust. There are so many playwrights of color. There are so many musicals and plays that highlight the stories of people of color, and there is no excuse to not do those. Of course, avoiding any kind of appropriation at all costs.
Right. Of course.
Is number one. We are not letting that happen.
Good.
But that's kind of the thing. It's like, stop picking just white stories, and you'd be probably amazed at what kind of representation will come out, what interest will be available.
Right, that's awesome.
Well, I think that you'll find willing partners in the various community theater groups, because starting in the early last summer, when the Black Lives Matter movement was really establishing some really important momentum in the wake of the police killings, all of the community theater groups, there's Twin City Theater Company, Champaign-Urbana Theater Company, the Station Theater, and Parkland College, and the U of I Theater Department also, I got mailings from them. So there were all these kind of like platitudes of, we're going to do better. We're Black voices matter, Black stories matter. So we're gonna make Black art matter. But so far, there's been some success. The Station successfully did a couple forums that were good. And I think that that's parlayed with the enough gun violence stories and then the diversity of faces in last week's Together Apart. But my point is that we all realize that until there start to be opportunities for younger people to establish themselves and to have access, then you're not gonna have adults who want access or even care about. And so I'm holding in my hands this book of the Station Theater's first 40 years. And I went through it, and the Station Theater's done so many great things, and it means a lot to both of us as an actor and as a board member. But I counted up 1,296 faces in this book, and 1,274 of them are white.
Over
40 years. And that's 98.7% white faces. And that's in a progressive little community theater at a railroad station. And so we need your help. And I think that you will find that if you want access, volunteers, if you have ideas, need funding, you can look to our show, first of all, to advertise things, and us personally to help. But also I think that there could be some sorts of partnership and synergy. I've never used that word before.
Synergy between the
community theaters and the student. And because you are a community, the Champaign Park District is community theater also.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why we cover it as part of our community theater radio show.
Right.
And I think
Go ahead.
Another thing for me as, you know, the director position, I understand not only the position of power I'm in as the director, but also the fact that I'm a white lady replacing another white lady, right? Like, so what's important for me to do in when we do get back into musicals, and I have those opportunities of hiring an assistant director, a choreographer, and a music director, is who am I hiring? Because I can read books and educate myself, but I will never know the experience of a person of color. And so it's not just about learning about those voices, but it's allowing space for those voices to come in and be a part of the creative team and the creative process. I can't do it all on my own.
And I know the Station Theater, we just got a grant to work with teenagers and kids of color, and we're gonna do some things over the summer to, we're hopefully gonna put on some plays if we can, but it's also gonna be classes and stuff. And so we're happy to like pass on information and let the kids that come know that the Park District is gonna have things going on too. And I think a lot of what we were missing for a long time is, and we try to be this like umbrella group to get everybody involved, because sometimes we don't know what, you know, CPD doesn't know what we're doing at the station and vice versa and stuff like that. So that's kind of our job. Eric and I have kind of taken that on to talk to all the different groups and kind of know what's going on, so we can go, hey, we know you guys are doing something really cool, and we'll send actors your way or whatever. So we're happy
and there's
to help.
Costumes and props, and there's just, there really needs to be a sort of a vibe of non-competition.
Right.
And even beyond non-competition, the actual tangible support and enthusiasm. And
yeah, I love that.
And so, and working together, and promoting each other and going to see your shows and stuff. So it's very exciting.
Well, so you mentioned that you don't have a team established yet of who's going to be your, are you going to go, do you want to have a, like a hired choreographer, or is it going to be a show by show sort of a thing, do you think?
It has to be a show by show, which I think actually works out great. The three shows that, so I will be picking the shows after the ones that Patty already paid for, we have the rights to, so of course we're going to do them. So that is we have Matilda, The Jungle Book for the younger kids, and then Moana. So already we have two shows. One is taking place in the Indian jungle, and one is the Polynesian population. So two very different groups of people of color. So it would be ideal show to show to be able to hire people with that specific knowledge, because not only is that going to allow for education, but also accuracy. Just, I don't know, like things that I don't know why we haven't thought about before, truly.
Right. Well, I think that you probably have a lot of good resources through the Illinois Theater. And as you get to know more people who are involved in community theater, I hope you'll find resources, because there's great potential in those shows, but also there is, it's a little bit, it's got to be a little bit intimidating also to have to cast those the right way.
It is, because I don't know what the population of kids I'll be working with looks like yet. And so that's definitely giving me a little anxiety, because again, there will be no appropriating happening. Like, that is so not gonna happen. But that means that it's our job to get the word out, to right. find those groups of people that have been underrepresented, but this show is representing different groups. Like, that is the whole point of these stories being told, being made. And something else I'm hoping to do, being connected to the university and hopefully learning about the connections within the Champaign-Urbana theater community, is I would really love to start having like a monthly workshop that's led by an artist of color. I think that is so incredibly important for the education that these kids need and that they deserve, because kids are smart. Kids have access to things that we did not ever have access to. And kids are on tech, kids are on the computer so early now. And I think kids want to know what's going on. They want to be educated. They want to know. It's one thing to get your information kind of overwhelming from the computer, but having someone that is directly in charge of you, that you respect, having that face-to-face interaction with people who are educated in these topics, have lived through it, know about it personally, I think is a whole other experience that these I say kids, but I know it's also teenagers, these young adults deserve.
Right. Yeah. Right. And you probably do understand it's a huge undertaking, and you're going to have such an impact on these kids' lives. I know that our kids personally have been greatly impacted by the Park District, and it's an honor and also kind of daunting, I'm sure, but it sounds like you're gonna be great.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll be talking to you a lot in the weeks and months to come. We're so excited to get to meet you, and this program seems like it's been left in great hands. So Thank you and good luck and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Okay, we'll talk to you later. This has been Eric and Linda. We'll see you at the show. See you next week.
You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM.